Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
You may have seen the headline from the Associated Press: Catholics challenge St. Louis abortion sanctuary law. A group of St. Louis Catholics are filing suit against the city. They did this Monday over a local ordinance that prohibits discrimination based on reproductive health decisions. It's being called an abortion sanctuary law. Joining us to talk about the law and the suit being filed, Sarah Pitlick. She's special counsel for the Thomas More Society. Sarah, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you very much for having me.
This city law, what problem exactly was it written to address?
Well, that's a great question. According to the drafters, it's supposed to address the problem of discrimination against women who have had or who are planning to have abortions, but those same drafters acknowledged that they weren't aware of any such discrimination actually happening in the city of St. Louis. They had no examples of it. There were no statistics to support that this was an actual problem. And then elsewhere, in press accounts, I've read that they described it as trying to stake out a political opposition to future pro-life initiatives that might come from the state level. I saw it described as mostly symbolic. So it's unclear what problem it was supposed to address. It seems to have been mainly a political tactic.
So no one is alleging that any particular person has suffered any discrimination whatsoever in any realm in St. Louis on account of their reproductive decisions or actions?
Well, they claim that they know that this kind of discrimination is happening. They just have provided no evidence or have given no examples, and they could point to no instances of it. But the claim is that it exists. Certainly none of our plaintiffs has ever been accused of it. And in any case, even if that were the reason for the law is wildly overbroad for that purpose. The law does not protect that small class of people who may or may not be making of the decision to have an abortion. It protects anyone who has made any decision that is in any way related to any reproductive health decision. So it's not just women. It's not just people who know women who are making certain decisions. It's anyone who's ever even had a thought about abortion. Anyone who has chosen, for example, to be an abortion activist or an abortion provider. So this ordinance, the purpose of it is what they said it was, this ordinance is very poorly drafted for that purpose and chills a great deal more expression, speech, and conduct than is necessary to achieve that purpose.
So play that out for me a little bit, if you would, Sarah. Mm-hmm. That chilling effect that a law like this could have in the city of St. Louis, what would that look like in particular?
Okay, well, just to take our clients, our plaintiffs, as an example, one of our plaintiffs is in a pro-life maternity home, Our Lady's Inn. It provides services under a state program called the Alternatives to Abortions Program. It's specifically to women who've chosen not to have abortion. The services are to enable women to choose not to have abortions who don't want to. So Our Lady's Inn would no longer be able to ask in its employment process whether the people who want to work for them support its pro-life mission. It would no longer be able to fire someone who decided to counsel one of its recipients to have an abortion. It would no longer be able to ask its prospective recipients whether they are planning to have an abortion as a criterion for providing services, which is part of its mandate under state law to provide housing specifically to women who have chosen not to have abortions. So all of the things I just described, if Our Lady's Inn were to continue engaging in them as it has historically, it could be penalized with fines or even jail time. Similarly, the Catholic elementary schools, one of our plaintiffs, cannot ask applicants for employment whether they support the Catholic Church's views on abortion. Because if they were to not hire someone because they don't support those views, because that person is, let's say, an abortion advocate or wants to talk to their class about the abortion they had, then they could be fined or put in jail for taking that adverse employment action on the basis of a reproductive health decision. That's just two examples, and I don't want to take all your time.
No, that's fine. Does the law make an exception for churches?
It makes an exception to certain requirements for churches. There is a provision in the law that says that nothing in the law should be interpreted to require churches to provide insurance coverage for reproductive health decisions, to pay for any abortion, for example, being performed on their site, or to allow them being performed on church property. And it does not make that exception for private businesses. So one implication of the law that affects our client, Frank O'Brien, who owns a private business, is that he can be required to provide abortion and contraceptive coverage under the law, whereas the Catholic Church cannot. However, the Catholic Church is just as subject as any other St. Louis citizen to the non-discrimination provisions that affect employment and housing. They are just as constrained in what they are allowed to say and whom they are allowed to hire. So the law is just as violative of their freedom of speech and freedom of expressive association as it is of any other entities.
St. Louis Mayor Crewson has said in a statement defending the law, "We don't believe the ordinance infringes on the rights of the Archdiocese." Speaking there, St. Louis Archdiocese. "The city worked with the Archdiocese to modify the language of the bill. As a city, we don't support discriminating against anyone," said the mayor. What's your response?
Well, some of the language that was included, like the exception I just described, those things were negotiated in the process of writing the bill. But the Archdiocese made very clear to the alder people, and Our Lady's Inn did as well, what the defects of this bill were, and it was not modified to accommodate their constitutional rights or the constitutional rights of anyone else in the city of St. Louis. So I think the mayor might be exaggerating a little the level of deference that was given to the Archdiocese's comments during the drafting process.
Well, similar laws have been enacted in the District of Columbia, Boston, and the state of Delaware, I believe, have passed these laws.
Yeah.
Based upon how those have been going, I mean, these largely symbolic laws, what do we know about the effect of such laws in those particular cases?
Well, and it's interesting that people keep reporting that there are three such laws. I and my colleagues have not been able to locate any such law in Boston. That has been widely reported based, I think, on claims by the drafters of this ordinance, but I have not found any such law. The two that exist in the District of Columbia and Delaware are far, far more constrained than the one that is here in St. Louis now. So to call those a precursor to this or the same law as this is kind of a wild exaggeration. There you have only a definition of reproductive health decisions and something about employment discrimination. You do not have the flagrantly unconstitutional speech codes that are in our law that declare that employers cannot print or circulate any preference related to reproductive health decisions, and neither can people renting housing. Those do not exist anywhere else. You do not have the housing provisions at all in those other ordinances. And you also do not have anything that could be interpreted as a requirement to provide health insurance for contraception and abortion on the part of private employers. In fact, the District of Columbia's ordinance specifically has an exemption like the one that we have in our bill for religious employers, but their exemption says no employer should have to provide insurance under their ordinance. Ours conspicuously limits the exemption only to religious organizations. So those are not the same ordinance that we have here. So it's hard to draw any conclusions based on the fact that those are based on the history of those. Also, they're both very, very recent. These are all part of the same movement, it would appear, to try to start making these laws on the local level. So who's to say whether they will be subject to similar challenges to this one?
So with about a minute here, where does it go from here?
We've filed a complaint. We will most likely file a motion for preliminary injunction asking for immediate injunction against enforcement of this law against our clients while we litigate. And we expect the Eastern District of Missouri ultimately to reverse to invalidate the law and recognize that it's unconstitutional.
Sarah Pitlick is special counsel for the Thomas More Society. Sarah, thank you very much for the update.
Thank you very much.
In hour two of Issues Etc., Pastor Tom Baker joins us. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on John's vision of heaven in Revelation chapters 21 and 22. Then we'll continue our series on Christian devotion, talking about Martin Luther's fourfold strand of prayer. Thanksgiving is a strand we'll take up with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour two of Issues Etc. in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Jesus the Good Shepherd says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." We invite you to join us as we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him who gives us eternal life. Sunday worship services at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible class at 10:30, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, on the web at goodshepherdarnold.org. That's goodshepherdarnold.org.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.